Looking to lend a little hand this holiday season? Do your part in helping out those in need. You might want to consider getting involved on some level with Operation Secret Santa. Here's a quick overview. Formally kicking off on December 15th, Operation Secret Santa, that's hashtag OSS, is a world grassroots, strictly people-driven, Christmas charity, telethon-styled internet campaign. Referral marketing, or what's otherwise known as word of mouth, drives the project's big red sleigh, with all money, donations, and the like going directly to the needy who are selectively sponsored. The four main categories of participants we're looking for include 1. Live streaming web show hosts, speakers, producers, and performers. 2. Operator matchmaking elves, making their lists and checking them twice. 3. Secret Santa sponsors. And 4. People in any place around the world living in need, worthy of a little Christmas hand up. This year's organizers are presently working on mobilizing and building upon last year's preliminary success, with donation levels capped at a suggested price value limit of $1,000. If you've any further questions, be sure to drop by WPRPN.com or check out our groups on both Facebook and Minds.com via a keyword search of simply Operation Secret Santa, hashtag OSS. Well, shiver me timbers. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. Calling all hands on deck, we be scrambling like mad to get things in ship shape here on the Robin Hood as we continue to gear up for Operation Secret Santa 2017. Scrambling like mad indeed. Things are pretty much everything all amok here this week as far as the annual wrap-up is concerned. We've got Operation Secret Santa coming up here, obviously, just around the corner, so a lot of energy moving in all sorts of different directions, coming and going. But we've had computer issues as well, too, having to reformat things here on this end to get the stream out to you again this week. And DDoS attacks and all kinds of interesting things. So, but welcome, everybody. Thanks for dropping by. I am, of course, your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Got about 90 minutes or so here, as typically is the case, going to hopefully draw a few things to your attention over the course of that time frame, including just a general kind of reflection and rundown, a bit of an overview of the year that's transpired here over the course of 2017. Some of the highlights, some of the lows, a lot of challenges, of course, as we've just witnessed here this week once again. So it's a never-ending sort of ordeal, of course, as one might imagine. You're left with your hands full, short-staffed, short-handed. What are you able to do but just work on making the most of things? Minds.com also appears to be down too, believe it or not. So how about that? Not sure if anybody else out there is having the same sort of issue as I am here myself over in Korea, but that is quite something to note, the inability to even access Minds.com via either Google Chrome or Firefox. So, of course, presumably once you attempt to use multiple browsers to access the same website, there's something not quite right on the other end of things. We'll just have to wait for news and updates as far as their end of things is concerned. So, really, not a heck of a lot of prep work here this week either, believe it or not. All we've really done is looked at the shows that we've tackled here and booked over the course of the past year. Quite a colorful cast of characters, a lot of really interesting individuals. Of course, that's the sort of people that we look for and are interested in bringing aboard the Robin Hood and talking to. So I think, as I recall, looks like things pretty much kicked off back in mid-January. I think we took the first week off because of Secret Santa presumably just being so damn draining. Who knows what things will look like this year. As I recall, though, we did even take one day off last year. We had hoped to string things along over the course of the whole entire 10-day period, but that, unfortunately, simply was not the case. So, number of updates here via Facebook, a lot of live information and comments and so forth coming through as we stream out live via YouTube once again this week. I know that Carolyn Rose Goida was waiting to drop by. Maybe she's managed to get things streaming on her end via her cell phone. So hopefully she's hanging in there in her igloo camper van. The temperature's pretty low, I believe. I'm not sure. I guess it's dropped into, I think, is it the mid-40s, Carolyn? Something along those lines. So she herself, I guess, has got a bit of a hardy, almost like military-type issue sleeping bag from the sounds of things. So hopefully does okay and manages at some point here to find herself in, well, actually having a house of sorts, or at least a room with a sofa and a bed and a chair and just, you know, standard sort of utilities as most people do. But we'll see how that goes here over time. She, as regular listeners will know, is based, of course, out of state of Missouri, just general Jefferson City sort of region, although not Jefferson City precise. And we're just going to check the more just regarding this live chat information and comments. Yes, no stream. So much for net neutrality. Well, I'm not sure what's going on there exactly, but yeah, Joseph Pardo, be sure to keep us posted. What is the latest there regarding mines? Quite bizarre. I'm not sure. I have no idea. No idea whatsoever. So we'll see. At times, people have said there's been bug issues with the browsers, that sort of deal, more than anything, just having to fix and update browsers. But it could be today something more than that, as maybe along the lines of what Joe is getting at here regarding this business of net neutrality and everything that is said to represent or otherwise stand for. Would be interesting to get someone, actually speaking of net neutrality and so forth, I wonder, Joe, because we are streaming live now from the looks of things here, we've got you in the chat area now on YouTube, that it says here we're getting a message that's not receiving enough video to maintain smooth streaming. As such, viewers will experience buffering. Don't know if you are experiencing any buffering issues there or not, Joe, Carolyn, and others who are listening live as we stream out episode 87, folks. The exact year, actually, I graduated from high school, now that I come to think of it. Next year, of course, episode 88, roll those double eights, folks. Hopefully a little luckier than the double sevens that we had a number of weeks ago when we tried to get a show booked and in place streaming live out of Sturgis, Dakota. Whether that's north or south, I think it's North Dakota, if I'm not mistaken. Most Americans should know that, although you'd be surprised by the number who don't. maybe, Joe, you can get on top of that. little bit of a behind the scenes co-production activity from your end. A web search whether Sturgis is South or North Dakota. But yes, episode 77, we had hoped to have Helidium Thunder join us with that live feed from Sturgis. Unfortunately, things just didn't quite come together the way that we'd hoped they would. Maybe better luck next time. Those were the double sevens. Chance Garden, I believe, followed things up with episode, I think it was about 78. We'll have to go back in the archives here and check. One of our browsers was closed here by mistake. Not a problem. We'll just pop back to Space Pirate Radio. There you go, folks. Bit of a plug there, of course, for the shows that we have archived. Approximately 80 plus. We're all the way up with the post-production end of things. Well, episode, let's see now, 80 with Rational Outlaw, but we did actually manage to put out 84 with Fortean Talks out of England. That was a pre-recorded affair, which we streamed out live just a couple weeks ago. That, of course, too, was followed up by episode 85 with John Barber regarding the JFK files. And the video that he's put out recently, the second assassination, President John F. Kennedy, American media. I have to get the full title. It's quite a mouthful. But that was episode 85. And he does offer that great video via Amazon and Vimeo for the very affordable price of $1.99. $1.99, folks. Technically a little less than $2 and easily accessible and available to anyone who has an Amazon or Vimeo with a PayPal connection in place, of course. That's one of the things, too. Let's not forget, we do accept direct PayPal donations. If people out there are interested in sponsoring Pirate Radio podcasts in any fashion, well, in this case, just a strictly cash donation of some sorts, much in the way, of course, that buskers receive tips in their tip jar, same kind of deal. Patreon is an interesting setup. It's okay, but everyone seems to want to take their cut, and, you know, maybe some of you out there would rather just make a direct donation, $5, $10, $15, whatever the case may be. It's just, you know, kind of wherever the spirit may seem to want to move you, feel free. But that is definitely a lot better way of doing things, for sure. And I believe the way we've got that configured now via PayPal is pirateoneradio@protonmail.com. That would be the email contact information and the recipient of donations or emails or what have you. I think it works for both, basically, from what I recall here. As one of my might imagine, a lot of work has to be done putting each and every show together. It's a lot of work. A lot more here goes on behind the scenes and probably what most people have any idea, frankly, other than anyone else out there that does take the time to put together a weekly podcast themselves. We are, as you might imagine, more or less flying solo here today, at least from the formal end of things. All you hear really is myself, Jaffe here, carrying on a conversation by himself, to himself in some respects, but also with the awareness that there are listeners on the other end, people, receivers of these words and utterances, perhaps even from time to time, little droplets or jewels of knowledge. Dare I say wisdom? I'm not sure. Maybe that's probably pushing it a little too far. But mostly, yes, very much pirate focus. And the recap here is what we're supposed to be, have our sights set on today. So they got that sliding stream show coming out at you here once again, live via YouTube. Speak out on behalf of the voiceless and for the rights of all who are defenseless. Proverbs. That's a great quote and a picture, I believe, via may have been Carolyn Rose Goida, as a matter of fact. We have a few of her pictures that we've added to this week's slideshow, as well as former President Kennedy, the Christmas message that he offered to the world in 1962. Some really great thoughts and ideas worth perhaps reflecting upon and giving some consideration to. So it sounds like, yeah, thank you, Joe. Things are coming out relatively decent fashion there on your end as far as the stream is concerned. So that's great. How are things out in Long Island? Our listeners want to know. So I'm not sure if you'd want to call in necessarily. That might not be the best way of doing things just because of the sound quality that we typically get from you. But we'll see. Sturgis is in South Dakota. So there you go. How about that? I actually drove through there once. I think it was only once, yes, as I recall, a number of years ago, 2000 or so. And right near Mount Rushmore. Beautiful, beautiful country. All right, well, back to the show then, folks. Let's keep things moving along then here. And don't forget, once again, Operation Secret Santa coming up next week. We're going to kick things off. It is a 10-day campaign. And we're looking and calling for, seeking all podcast talent, musical comedy, personalities, people that are capable of bringing things to the mic and offering things in a way that, you can even stream out via video if you want, as far as that end of things goes. We've already actually got an anonymous donor as far as the strict cash donations end of things is concerned. So that's great. Hell, it's like, you know, December 8th. Basically the 9th here, of course, in Korea, almost 1:30 in the afternoon. That would be, of course, not quite 8:30 Pacific Standard Time out in the West. Los Angeles, Seattle, Vancouver, Baja, California, and 11 p.m. out in other far-flung, distant, East Coast-based American cities, including Chicago, New York, Miami, and the like. So, Operation Secret Santa, once again, the auction end of things is one of the elements or features that we worked into this year's. We're building as an extravaganza, essentially. We've managed to get more of a leap on things this year than we did last, of course, and even the year before, which, I mean, that just caught everybody off guard, really, and by surprise when things pretty much just emerged right out of the blue on the eve of, not quite on Christmas Eve, but on the, just right in the lead up to Christmas. I don't even think it was a week before. So we worked to use the blab.im platform as best we could to get things ramped up that way and to work on spreading the word, as it were, and developing ideas that had germinated in the thought lab. Where these thoughts come from is anybody's guess. So it's, I guess it's up for the listeners to maybe take a stab at it or decide, maybe cast a few theories, reflect on where the whole project may have originated from. Leaving that aside for the time being, we once again just scrolling through the archives. I'm not even sure where the best place to start is, frankly. There's altogether approximately 40 some episodes, I believe, is what we managed to produce over the course of 2017. A lot of after show Rogues Gallery content, let's not forget. And we just recently managed to get the Patreon machine rolling along, get that fired up and in place. So $10 a pop now, folks, that's what we're managing to produce. Ka-ching. Happy, happy. That means, of course, $5 directly to charity as well, too, in accordance with the policies that we have in place there under the ship's articles and in accordance with the captain's wishes. So, yeah, for each piece of premium Patreon content that we now produce, $5 directly to charity. Minds.com, speaking of Minds.com, they, it seems, recently managed to also get something similar off the ground, in that there is a premium feature in place now where people are able to put their content out in a similar way as to what is seen over on via patreon.com. So if there's any people that might want to speak to that, be our guests, there's a lot of money to be made over the long term. If people have artistic or creative content, most definitely, or anything that's of value to people potentially. And that's one of the reasons we decided to launch the auction feature this year, because you'd be amazed. Myself here, just looking around, I decided, hell, I'll put my musical CDs up for auction. So we got those out there. I've also got an hour of my time that's going to go up for auction. There'll be a number. There'll be, of course, a description to match that. And there'll be a region. So South Korea, number 1, 2, 3, what have you, along with the starting bid value. And, of course, that's basically about it. And in addition to that, whether or not you as the Santa, i.e. the purchaser or the winning bidder, choose to remain secret or not. That's your option. That is entirely up to you. Secondly, whether you want your charity, your select, the worthy cause that you have in mind that you'd like to see these either money or some sort of product or service delivered to, put into the hands of, like to keep them anonymous as well. So there's a twofold or two-pronged way of looking at things there as far as the structure of the extravaganza is concerned and the auction feature in particular. So already, yep, once again, thank you, Joe, for the touching base there regarding audio, the stream end of things, and yes, and the time confirmation. All right, just to keep on plowing through what we have here as far as show notes are concerned. Technical issues. I think we kind of more or less got that out of the way. Although, well, it was nice to see Captain St. Clair. He, because of the work I've done here over the last, well, it's almost 2 years now, frankly. We're closing in on 2 years, if you can believe that, folks. So, myself personally, it's been quite a ride for sure, to say the least. And it's mostly forced me, I suppose, or I found myself compelled to work on better trying to find my voice, as well as live with. A lot of people don't like to listen to their voice, the recorded version of it, and I'm no different. Although that's kind of changed recently where I've, because of trying to take a more professional approach, you pretty much have to be able to listen to your voice, not because you love it so much as you need to. It's a matter of necessity, frankly. On top of that, well, let me not forget, though, just before, there's just so many different, you know, we could take it off in two different directions here, but yeah, I did get a Christmas present from Captain St. Clair, a notebook. I think they refer to the laptops in the West as such, but it's like a Samsung, I don't even know the technicality, the specs and whatnot, can't be 100% clear on, but it has a quad core is one of the things for sure, along with a number of other features where it's pretty much top of the line in many respects, and definitely a major upgrade from what we're running on at the present moment. The unfortunate thing is that we've had to send the item back to the shop because of this DDoS attack that was referenced earlier. And that happened real fast. And it was my own fault, unfortunately, my own foolish decision to download just a piece of software. Be careful, folks. If you want to ever download the UMI downloading software so that you can rip and download videos off of YouTube, be very careful with trying to get a hold of anything that claims to carry along with it the key or something or another. I guess it is it's a shareware kind of thing. So that kind of deal, things are not always as they may on the surface appear. So watch out. But yeah, very appreciative of the captain having laid that on us. Hashtag tech navvies. But yeah, we do put a lot of work into post-production here, as probably a few of you out there, regular listeners to the show, will know. And not so much with the Patreon end of things, believe it or not, but the main show, most definitely. To the point, in fact, where, to the extent of it being a fault, in that there are so many issues with every program from a technical sound engineering standpoint that, well, we could spend even more time than we do on trying to get these shows out for people to listen to in post-produced form via Podomatic and the Space Pirate Radio domain URL, www.spacepirateradio.com. Let's see, what is it once again? spacepirateradio.podomatic.com. That would be us, I indeed. So the point I guess I'm trying to make, in case any of you are feeling slightly lost at the moment, is that I myself, and having to cover a lot of, and having to do a lot of work here on this end of things in order to get these shows out on a week-to-week basis, it just, once again, very demanding. And I'm going to try to not be so maybe neurotic or anal retentive about these matters, hopefully in the future. It's just tough for me to let certain things slide, though, because of the level, I guess, I just have higher, the demands, I guess, that I have, and that I expect more, I suppose, and I would assume that our listeners do as well, too. So that's why we try to provide the highest quality, the best quality product all around that we can. In fact, this live streaming, the raw feed that we're putting out at the present moment here via YouTube, is really not our primary or main concern, interest, or focus, priority, what have you. It simply is that post-produced product. So just to let listeners know and to be clear, you know, we've got no Skype open today either. How about that? So maybe that's one thing we could do here today before we carry on much longer. We've been running here now, I guess, about a half hour or so. So that might be time to maybe shift our focus over to Skype and see if what we have cooking on that end of things. Yeah, Firefox, nominds.com at all. Zero, nil, nada, zip. Just nothing happening. How about that, huh? Go figure. All right, I think we can multitask while opening Skype. Oh, one thing to add regarding Podomatic, too. Let's not forget, folks, give ourselves a little bit of a pat on the back. We rose up into the top 10 of their society and culture rankings. Yay! Clap, 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 clap. So, it's a fine show to be indeed there, Jaffe. Thank you, Captain. So, yeah, it's all right, I think, you know, what we managed to put together here as we do attempt to on a, you know, week-to-week basis, but it's great. It's really flattering. And it just shows that we can do even better. So I guess the secret there is to ask ourselves, what is it that people are looking for? And secondly, will we be able to provide it? You know, just in the lead up to today's show, believe it or not, as I was scurrying around in the back area end of the production, we stumbled across the fact that, and nearly I had to do a double take, but the Real Randy Ross episode, if people want to go and take a look at that, at the Space PirateRadio.podomatic.com website link and the archive area, that episode, if you can believe it, via Podomatic has got now more than 6,000 views. It nearly blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. There was a couple shows, one we did with Thomas Sheridan, and another we did, I think, well, with Grant Cameron, that's been doing pretty well, but the other one with William Ramsey has, you know, if you look at each of those on YouTube, I think two of the three at least are well over 1,000 views, hits, plays, what have you. Whether people want to download it is, you know, rip it straight from YouTube is completely up to them. But the Podomatic end of things, because that's really where we focus and try to work on, once we have it out there, promote as best we can. Doesn't always succeed. We've had a few clunkers. Went back not naming any names. Shows that really, well, should have had more views, should have had more hits, downloads, what have you, but didn't. Then again, maybe that isn't always the biggest issue or most important thing. What's most important is just doing what your heart tells you to do, I suppose. And even if it's a small, little, intimate gig or not, then fine. Even if you're playing to a room of just one or two or three, it doesn't matter. At the same time, it's probably best to treat things if you are talking to or dealing with or performing in front of a larger audience, just to almost take a similar approach as if you were just in front of a small number of individuals. So what we're going to do here is remain invisible via Skype, just kind of lurk around a little bit and see if anyone drops in at all or pops by, wants to join us at all. So it really wasn't the emphasis or priority as far as today's presentation or episode, just conversation more than anything that I am having with myself here in relation, of course, to folks out there in podcast, radio, or listing land. So multiple browsers up in place here already. Joe Eminon promises he did not break minds. I don't know, Joe. If there's anyone that would be perhaps capable of doing that, you would be the person I would want to talk to and would surely suspect. So we're just going to share the link around here a little bit, folks, and make sure that the people in Skype and elsewhere get a chance to take a look at it. So, yeah, it was unfortunate. Once again, no minds, no promotion. That's where most of our people and listeners come from, minds.com, period. I don't know what it is with Facebook exactly, but they're really not too active there, and we don't really seem to drop too many people in, as it were, gain much of an audience. On top of that, let's not forget the live streaming end of things, another reason why we don't really put much effort into promoting or focusing on this end of things, is because most people go for the downloads anyways, by far. People, unless they're doing their daily chores, maybe driving in the car, that sort of thing, that's always possible. I know Emily is a good example of that. Someone who's just at work and on her way home, and hey, let's check out what we have here online that's streaming at the moment. Oh, Jaffe with Pirate Radio Podcasts. That's interesting. Who do they have this week? So that sort of demographic is applicable too, is what it would seem, obviously. Yes, all kinds of different scenarios. I know Joe and Carla. What they tend to do, assuming Carla still listens, Joe, but things haven't gone downhill that badly here yet. But yeah, they just kick back, relax, chill out. So it's a lot like the Carson show maybe was for some people back in the day. Only this is more just strictly theater of the mind. At least, you know, not entirely theater of the mind. Although someone along the lines of Orson Welles, of course, would be a big influence for sure, and someone that we greatly respect. I mean, undoubtedly, who could not respect Orson Welles? Or Ed Wood, although let's not get sidetracked with that one right now. What the hell was the name of the classic B-movie there from Ed Wood? Anyways, Plan B from Outer Space? Something like that. Yeah, I think that might be the one there that we're looking for. So it seems that the slideshow is streaming along reasonably well here at the moment. As you can hear, I am myself, unfortunately, a little clogged up. So I wish that weren't the case. The nasal congestion. Don't know what to do with that exactly. Whether to find some sort of Dristan mist, perhaps. Or maybe, I guess, a person can always put your head over the pot of boiling water and try to decongest yourself that way with peppermint or spearmint. We do have some eucalyptus here in the house, which is something that we should consider perhaps turning to. Carla is here. She says, hi. Well, hope she's doing well and the two of you are doing well. It sounds like you're hanging in there, so that's great. We want to hear the latest, of course, too. Let's not forget Joe from John Ford. We've got that case is on the go, and a lot of activity there, it seems. A lot of development going on there on that front with Mr. Ford. He's getting the exposure more so that he needs now as word spreads throughout the world. So that's great. Dribs and drabs, folks. Every great ocean was filled with just one single raindrop upon the next. It all starts with just one. Just one. You let it roll along, let it build. But you need to make that first initial step to begin with. And without that, nothing can ever happen, of course. But yes, John Ford definitely, very clearly, there's no reason whatsoever that they can present why he should remain in the hands of the state, in state custody. It's a lot of just utter garbage it's an accurate portrayal or representation or description of things, but to say tragic, well, there is that element, I suppose, too. I would say with respect to John's benevolence, really, and his naivety, that's how I would categorize that. If we were to, in any way, paint this in a tragic manner whatsoever, so definitely, he's just too kind, too giving, and too naive, not clearly understanding that some people are out there, of course, very malicious, and they can't help themselves either. They're like maybe sick dogs almost, the way some people can't help themselves. Can a sick dog help itself? I don't know. I don't think so. Not unless it gets... How would you treat a sick dog? So, you know, that's maybe they've been traumatized from birth or, you know, something along those lines. Some sort of malady or dis-ease which they find themselves afflicted by. That's been the case since they were just small cubs or pups or kittens or what have you. New lawyer for John. Yes, that's right. That's some of the news that is breaking. There is a new lawyer for John Ford. That's great. That's critical. That's really the sort of thing that's necessary in order for his voice to be heard and for his story to be presented and brought to... I wish, you know, I'm fortunately myself not a lawyer, of course, and I wish I could speak in more strictly legal terms, but his case being brought to bear or brought to presented and, you know, it needs to go to court in a sense of he needs to be brought before the judge. This business of show me the man. What is the Latin we're looking for here? It's beyond me right now. My legal training, unfortunately. Maybe we could come back to that a little bit later. But yeah, definitely his case needs to be heard. He needs to be set free, as does James Heidrick. I don't see any good reason for him either. You know, there's no reason whatsoever with James Heidrick. He's done his time. And the only reason he's being kept, supposedly, from what we understand, is because they've told him, well, we think you might reoffend. You know, we think you might. So that's it. Because we think you might, you know, the state has the right to keep you locked up, keep you behind bars, keep you detained, have you held against your will, essentially a prisoner of the state. And let's not forget, folks, he claims to have been not only a world-famous magician and illusionist, which we all clearly see. You can find him anywhere on YouTube if you do a search for James Heidrick, illusion, magic, what have you. That on top of that, you know, it was a big deal back in the early 80s, and he was on his way to becoming a star, frankly. But that what a lot of people weren't aware of was how he was also part of various black ops. And he was himself a super soldier type individual, really. So that thickens the plot a little, is what it would seem. That kind of shakes things up a little. That changes the story. But how many people know about that? I had no idea going into our conversation with James. No idea whatsoever. So I had to hear it straight from the man. Myself, and I think, you know, a lot of our listeners did too. Carolyn Rose Goida, she's along with John Ford, James Heidrick, Carolyn Rose Goida. We've also got Richard Whipple, based out of Poland. All four of those individuals are people that we are sponsoring here via the Robin Hood directly, cash, 100% donations, no strings attached, no auctions, no nothing, just directly. Little, you could even just call it a bit of a stocking stuffer, I suppose. $50 going out to each of those people. So Richard Whipple, of course, let's not forget, is stranded essentially in Poland. He's been there the last 15 years, working on repatriating back to Canada with his wife and his young child. Justin Trudeau, meanwhile, is too busy, it seems, bringing a lot of Middle Eastern, primarily Islamic, for the most, refugees, immigrants. Some would even go so far as to call them invaders into the country. So he's doing a good job at that. Justin Trudeau, very focused, him and the Liberal Party, very committed, a lot of money, a lot of funds, a lot of resources. Not a problem. Thousands upon thousands. Meanwhile, types, individuals, people, former, they're Canadians, they have a Canadian passport, they're an expat, wanting to get back into the country. Mr. Trudeau, not wanting to make it so easy at all. In fact, things have gotten so bad that the Canadian ambassador to Poland has even blocked Richard on Twitter. That's how things seem. So it would be interesting to get his version of events. I'd like to, maybe we should do that. I think the captain would probably support the idea of reaching out and contacting the Canadian ambassador to Poland. Maybe he'd block us too. Maybe he's got good reason to block Richard. I don't know. Myself, I really don't know. Something's really strange, though. There's no doubt about that. Very odd. Why more people don't know about this, or more people talk about this, or this isn't an issue that we hear about in mainstream news, I have no idea. Why don't we hear more about Operation Mockingbird in the mainstream media, just like what Mr. John Barber was talking about a couple of weeks ago? Completely ignored and overlooked, as if it didn't even exist. They don't want to make it an issue. It is an issue, and it is applicable, and it's very much a part of our society and how we function and operate as a species, but as well as just nation states, of course, too. This being particular, the U.S. is what we're referencing now. But it stands to reason that all countries have a similar state of affairs or situation or setup where their media is so compromised, it's so phony and fake. I mean, no wonder so many people are turning off their television sets. They're being lied to every night. Let's put it this way, folks. Right now, I don't have a teleprompter, okay? I have nothing. I have a few notes that I can maybe turn my sights to from time to time. But outside of that, it's just me here talking to you. We're having a conversation, a little bit one-sided at the moment, because there's no way of you reaching back or letting us know or sending us your comments unless you're on YouTube or, in this case, Skype, which I have not managed to fully access. But yeah, quite embarrassing, quite shameful, the way that all establishment corporate medias are structured, the way that they aren't really so interested in the truth as they are in promoting their own agenda. That's journalism? Not as I recall. That's not really even close to real journalism, as I understand it, as was my experience in going through, I didn't attend a journalism school per se myself, but did take a number of journalism classes in university. So that was interesting and a bit of an eye-opener. And you learn a few things along the way. Very interested in feature journalism. That's kind of what we do here via the Robin Hood. We're providing these human interest stories, these feature stories regarding people's lives, covering them in a way which might even potentially make for a decent documentary or two. We've got that on board as well here. Now, that's part of what we have on the checklist here. Part of the agenda, as it were, is to work on producing a handful of documentaries. People like John Ford, James Heidrick, Carolyn Rose Goyder with Save House out of Jefferson City, Missouri. What a story that was. Instead, what does the media do? They attack her. She's framed. She's set up. She's ridiculed. She's mocked. She's beaten down. George Orwell talked about repetition equaling truth. So I guess the more they attack her, or the more they frame her, or the more they say that, she's just a crazy cat lady. What does she know? And, she deserves to be run out of town, railroaded, as it were. Too bad, you know. Tough cookies. It's a sad state of affairs, most certainly, when you have... I mean, there were journalists there that were a part of things that saw what was going on. They were too afraid to speak out. That was the bottom line. They were afraid of losing their jobs. So when you have that sort of state of affairs in place, not just in Jefferson City, Missouri, but right across, and not even just, you know, Missouri, but America and the rest of the North American continent, China, Asia, Japan, Korea, and Yangtze. Speaking of which, Korea's, I just came across the article the other day. This goes back a few years, so it'd be interesting to note how well they've come along to what point exactly, but Korea's media ranked, speaking of transparency and integrity and so forth, it was terrible. This is, once again, a few years ago, in the mid-80s, the entire world is about 80, I think 82, 84 for transparency, integrity. So, I mean, people expect to get a truthful or clear message of what's actually going on out there. What are the issues? Who are the players? Who are the people? Who are the personalities? The bottom line are the advertising dollars in many respects. Then you've got the politics too, let's not forget. Let's not kid ourselves. And a lot of times too, the people that are working behind the scenes with their various networks or just even news publications on a single one-to-one basis, that they too, of course, very worried about their advertising dollars, but they have a conflict of interest. They hold stakes in. They've invested in these, say, pharmaceuticals or maybe a real estate deal here or there, or military armaments, or just you name it. You know, any kind of widget you can possibly imagine. So there's a major conflict of interest here. How do you expect to get the real news, or how do you expect to have any sort of truth or accuracy? And there's a lot of talk about that, truth and accuracy in media and in reporting. How can anyone expect to have that when you've got things like this conflict of interest? That goes right into, of course, too, let's not forget, the dual citizenship issue with the Israelis. Prime example. Nobody talks about it. It's there. It's not like they don't exist. It seems to be kind of almost like it's taboo. Well, you know what? Real journalists, they will go there. They do go there. They insist on going there. That's what a real investigative journalist does. One of the things they do. They probe and they press and they push and they pry and they peek and they report on what they see. And the news, the information, the stories are presented to the public. And from there, the public decides what it is that, what to make of things. Are they interested? Do they even care to take action? Maybe they just sit back on their sofa, shrug their shoulders, keep munching on their Lay's potato chips, and on to the next video game, you know? So, big deal, right? I can't do anything. What does my opinion matter, right? People ask themselves that. I have no stake in this. I have no interest in this. How does this affect me? Habeas corpus. There we go. Yes, thank you, Joe Emanon. Sailing along here, largely it seems, in silent stealth co-production mode. As we stream along to you through the night, through the afternoon for any listeners in Asia. We do have a handful of people, as is typically the case, so that is good to see. Aloha and ahoy. But yes, streaming along as we are here through the night, through the afternoon, as the case may be in Asia. Episode 87. Doing a general breakdown, overview, recap, revisitation, reflection upon what it is that we've managed to accomplish here over the course of the past year. As well as, too, let's not forget where it is that we're hoping to go in the future, 2018. So, things started out here in pretty chaotic sort of, what can a person say? We were running off in all sorts of different directions as far as being able to get the show on the road here this week. We've gone for about an hour now, it seems, so that's pretty decent. A little bit of a long format approach, as it's known. And continue to talk to you, continue to rap, continue to engage and interact. Anything that you feel is important or that you want listeners to know, let's hear it through the chat that we have set up here via YouTube. You know, speaking of which, there's a possibility too, we might even, you know, jump ship, as it were, and plug into a new streaming provider, potentially Twitch or any of these others that are out there, simply because YouTube is such bullshit, really. They've demonetized our channel since August, just to let listeners know, to make that clear in case you're wondering. We'd like to know what's up with that. I mean, they're kind of like Facebook in the sense that you reach out to them, try to get a, not just a straight answer, but any answer, good luck. You'll never hear from them. Never hear from Facebook. But yeah, demonetized since August. And they're just giving us all kinds of grief and issues, so what's the point? Not real huge fans of YouTube and this nonsense that they tried to pull with the Red Brigade. Heroes, be a hero. Step up to the plate, be a hero, and rat somebody out, tattle on someone, blow the whistle. You know, somebody feels offended by that. They might be offended, possibly, one day, potentially down the road. It's just not good, you know. So we gotta demonetize, get rid of it, issue a strike against someone, just because, just endless bullshit, frankly. Endless, you might want to call it social justice warrior. They're certainly not pro-free speech. They're pro-PC speech. And PC, of course, is what's politically correct, which is very much something that communist China has long been a proponent of. They've known all about this and practiced it and stood by it for quite some time. So maybe that's why someone like Justin Trudeau would be such a great fan of the Chinese system and speak out with such glowing support for what it is that they stand for. Never hear me doing that. Which reminds me of this whole real estate business out in Vancouver. I'm not sure if we covered that or not, but everyone under communism is supposed to be equal. You find a lot of rich Chinese going to Vancouver, as it's now quite widely and affectionately known, ending up dumping a lot of money there, going through customs. There's an interesting story I could tell you about customs, the way this works. Going through customs, the suitcase, hearing the stories of people with suitcases. Saudi Arabians, too, and Middle Easterners, they're really, you know, quite famous for this pulling this sort of crap, too, from the sounds of things. But going through customs with suitcases filled with cash, and the customs official notices this, takes the suitcases off to a little room to the side, spends a few minutes there, comes back, just after a short while, hands the suitcases back to the very wealthy traveler, whether once again from the Middle East or Asia, only to find that the suitcases filled with cash are about 10, 15, maybe about 20% lighter than what they were when they first went into the room. That's how the story goes. And apparently this is quite widespread and is maybe the word replete. Don't like to use too many words here where I'm not clear on the meaning. You know, we're big on syntax and producing statements or sentences of that basically do make sense and are relatively correct when it comes to the grammatical structure and so forth. So, but replete, endemic or systemic throughout the immigration customs, the cabal, it's part of the Kraken. Definitely it's a wing and a branch, an offshoot tentacle of the Kraken, a couple tentacles or two at least of the Kraken. Isn't that something? But then finding their way into Canada, going on into Canada, for example, a wink and a nod and have a nice day. Enjoy your visit. Welcome to Canada. Big smiley smile. And making their way in there with just, you know, this ridiculous amount of money and getting themselves set up. And you can even have absentee landlords. Hell, how many times do we hear about that? Absentee landlords, you know, wealthy, anonymous individuals snapping up land, real estate, housing, you name it. But then you look back to places like China where it's, well, once again, communism, this system of equality. Yet, so many poor Chinese for some reason. So, I don't quite understand how the picture, it all kind of makes sense. Or how does it square? It doesn't seem to make much sense to me, frankly. and I'm not sure if anyone else has picked up on this, I think what Marx used to refer to as these contradictions, he felt that that was where capitalism would fall and devour itself, essentially, which in some ways that seems to be the case, seems to be occurring. How much did he talk about banking, though, is what I got to ask myself. And I don't think he did talk much about banking or institutes like the Federal Reserve, which didn't quite exist during his time. But, yeah, what he issued and put forth, good old Mr. Marx there, with the whole agenda that he was promoting, strangely along the lines, eerily along the lines of what is contained within the protocols, the learned elders of Zion, if you look at each one protocol to the next, eerily, you know, strangely, quite similar and the same, so go figure. Fake book charges for John's page. 4,000 channels, nothing on, and news, all conflicts. Yeah, well, conflicts, war and crap and this and that. Who wants to watch that nonsense? So, doesn't quite float my boat. So, but Facebook charges for John's page is what Joe Emino is saying here. How about that? Isn't that something? So, but yeah, it doesn't quite square, does it, folks? All these wealthy foreigners coming over to another country, whatever country it is. In this case, it happens to be like Asia, particularly communist Chinese, coming over and dumping all this money into Vancouver. And at the same time, you've got all these poor Chinese back in the motherland who are struggling and suffering, trying to get by, make ends meet. Well, just make a go of things, really. The wealthy ones over in the West, it's a gross amount of wealth that they're stashing there, is what it seems. Where's the accountability? I think if you look into it a little bit, you'll find that there's some probably officials and insiders, people within the bureaucracy of Canada, the federal government, and even on the provincial end of things, of course, too, that are very much cashing in on this. The racket, essentially, is what it is. It's a major racket. So, no political will, though, is there? No political will. Zero. You get the vision and the means, but if you lack the political will, nothing's ever going to happen. Taking note of the fact of how the emperor has no clothes. What do you do? Got no fucking clothes. Stands there naked. All right, folks. We've got about another half hour here or so. Going to work on continuing the stream. And, well, let's not forget, we have a Robinhood chat room open here. So I want to just kind of give a shout out to Oldfried and Amanda Thurston and Oldfried. I'm not sure if you pronounce her last name Latte or Latte. She's been a kind of a follower of ours for some time. I don't refer to any of people out there in listener land as fans. I had that happen once where I referred to one person as a fan and all hell broke loose. How dare you refer to me as a fan? So, strange. People are strange. May you live in interesting times. Ancient Chinese curse. We're talking synchronicity, though, in particular last night, and Jungian psychoanalysis, discussing how that was, in fact, I managed to first meet my wife. People can find her out via, well, not YouTube exactly, but Facebook, Minds.com and elsewhere, Coco Park. Thank you, Coco Park. Done a lot of great work over the years, a lot of great help. And without you, we would not have this show in place. So she's been a really important part to our winning formula, what we've managed to produce to this point. But Amanda and Oldfried were getting into this conversation and business discussion regarding psychoanalysis, Jungian psychology, and so forth. Bit of a shadow. They've got their own theories and ways of looking at things regarding Mr. Jung. I think we also had Yvon Malthal chime in there with his URL, harpo.ca. So Yvon is a friend going back now quite a few years, counselor, former marriage counselor, international marriage counselor. Initially, he was based out of Seoul. Now he's headed back to Canada, actually, and managed to resettle in the western region of the country, British Columbia, the Sunshine Coast, Vancouver-type area. So congratulations to him. Hope that all continues to do well that he finds success in his journey and efforts to attain happiness, not only for himself, but of course many others as well. You know, we're going to miss out here on a few things for sure, even though we do have half an hour. A bit of a shout out here to, that's just the way things go, folks. Shout out here to Carol Sloan, who's asking about, or rather just drawing to listeners' attention, how Casey, her son Casey, is not with his family this Christmas. He is said to be a newlywed and not with his wife. He'd love to have Christmas greetings sent his way to Qatar in the Middle East. Hopefully he won't get into any trouble if any people that his minders, as it were, perhaps they're over in Qatar, presumably Muslim, not sure if that would be Sunni or Shiite, or you got the Wahhabis, and oh, there's a pretty radical lot for sure. A pseudo kind of false Islam is what even some people say. And if you dig far enough into the past, you'll find a la Lawrence of Arabia and so forth, that they've actually have the House of Saud actually claim Jewish roots. So they maintain this sort of crypto-Jewish identity, as it were, is kind of how the story goes. What to make of it all is completely up to the listeners, of course, but it is something worth perhaps reflecting upon and giving some thought to, especially when you have such things and issues as ISIS, where a lot of talk these days has been about how the CIA, MI5 or 6, the House of Saud, Mossad out of Israel, of course, have all colluded, collaborated, conspired, I think is one of the words that we could use here, folks, as well, too, let's not forget. We're not conspiracy theorists here via the Robin Hood or anyone. Well, any of the inner core, the WPRPN crew. We're not conspiracy theorists, no. We're political scientists. All right, there you go. So, but anyways, Christmas greeting out to Casey, of course, there in Qatar, the Middle East. I'm not sure if he's stationed there in a military capacity, as I think he may be, as I recall, or just more on a private sort of corporate business venture. Either way, all the best. Going back, though, once again to John Barber, we did copy a bit of a notification and update. Something that we wanted to draw to listeners' attention is the fact that the Academy, the American media, and the second assassination of President John F. Kennedy, and that there's been countless thousands who have supported it to this point and downloaded and purchased it for the low, highly affordable price of $1.99, that the Academy notified him just the other day that it was not to be moving forward. That is, once again, it would not be moving forward in the Oscars race. And for him, that was totally expected, as probably it was would be to many outsiders as well, who realize that for the longest time, as with Operation Mockingbird itself, and we've seen with the recent these Weinstein revelations, Pizzagate, and so forth, just the whole, the Kraken, the underbelly, and the unraveling. It is the apocalypse. There's no doubt about that. Don't pull any punches when it comes to throwing that one out there. So, but the unfortunate thing is that so many people have a trigger, kind of, it triggers them when you throw that word out there, the apocalypse. It's a knee-jerk reaction. All it means, of course, is simply an unveiling or a revelation of what has long been hidden or otherwise covered up. That's it, folks. Look, check out the Greek. You know, many scholars do agree. Instead, a lot of people, they hear this term and they start to immediately become all discombobulated. How's that for a big word? Discombobulated. How many syllables? 6, 7 syllables? So, very highly, very discombobulated. Triggered. It's unfortunate. I think, though, it's going to continue to be an underground kind of grassroots hit and classic, frankly. We ourselves have not got our hands on a copy yet, but we are planning and very much want to, you know, download via, well, we couldn't do Amazon. Yeah, we got an account there in place, I think. And Vimeo potentially, although there's no PayPal connection there at the moment. So we'll try to do that. I think it's very much worth watching the way that Mr. Barber reveals how, once again, through Operation Mockingbird, so many media insiders have played a role in this so-called the second assassination of President John F. Kennedy, starting with Dan Rather, who is part of the most wanted poster that Mr. Barber has put together, still alive. George H.W. Bush is another, too, let's not forget. Those are two big names that are part of the wanted poster. So if you see them, you know, make sure to issue a citizen's arrest, folks. You bump into either one of those two cretins. But Dan Rather, sure, he really did seem to get a bit of a boost, his career there with the, what was it? Clues, the Zapruder film, throwing his head forward to the left. Some ridiculous statement along those lines where it couldn't be any more, you know, it's a complete fabrication and completely the opposite from what we saw occur. So let's just leave that aside for now, though, as we try to carry on here. And I'm not sure, we have a cat, it looks like, who's suffering from some health issues at the moment, as far as maybe it's just hopefully a sneezing attack. Hopefully not too much of a distraction. I think what we have here, let's not forget too, folks, hashtag OSS 2017. That's Operation hashtag OSS, Operation Secret Santa 2017. We've also come up with a neat little hashtag to add to that. It goes kind of together hand in hand. Hashtag WCAT AL TEL. That's just with one L, TELEX, TELEX. WCAT L Telex, WCAT, WCAT, ALTELEX. That stands essentially for, folks, if you're not getting that, you probably won't, but maybe when I unlock it here for you, decode things in a manner of speaking. Hashtag World Charity Auction. Hashtag World Charity Auction. And Telethon Extravaganza, World Charity Auction. You know, we're going to have to do a double check on that, actually, and see what we have exactly. And if, in fact, that's the way that World Charity Auction... Oh, I'm sorry. World Charity Auction Talent Telethon Extravaganza. So, yeah, hashtag WCAT A-L-T-E-L TEL E-X. WCAT All Telex. World Charity Auction, Talent, and Telethon Extravaganza. Hashtag OSS 2017. You can denote, or rather, donate to charity directly. We encourage everyone in your areas, just where you are, if you're hearing this message, if you're out there and you want to donate something to charity, go ahead. Just do it. Yeah, of course, as you always do. We want to hear your stories. What do you typically do over Christmas as far as charity and donations are concerned? Most people that at least find themselves gainfully employed can typically manage to afford $50 or $100, I'd imagine, at least, you know, bare minimum, provided they aren't totally up to their eyeballs or ears in debt. So just a question of how you manage your financial house of affairs, it would seem, really. But yeah, we want to hear about it. Once again, we've already got a private donation that's just come in today. I don't believe we mentioned the individual's identity. It is a secret Santa, so I'm not sure what she has in mind, whether she wants to remain anonymous or whether she's going to make her identity known, as well as the select charity that she has in mind. Hopefully she'll be able to bring a few items to auction. That would be great. We're really looking forward to that, of course, too. We're also thinking we're going to be able to target a European audience this year. This end of things, the captain and a few of the core crew members have got together and talked about how it is that they would like to see myself on the mic and help to host and facilitate conversation and dialogue with our friends in Europe. So that would be about 10 o'clock here in the evening. If you want to check your world clock web pages or world via worldclock.com. Yeah, about 10 o'clock in the evening here in Korea, which in turn works out to approximately, I think it's 1 o'clock in London, as things are at the moment, and 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon via Amsterdam or, you know, Madrid or Rome or what have you. So it'll be interesting to see if we manage to plug in to that region of the world. That could be a big win for us and a real great step in the right direction. CourseOfMinds.com continues to stay offline for however long things want to seem to persist here, as far as them being completely incommunicado and kept out of the picture, then it could be a different story. We're going to be running a pretty bare-bones sort of operation, but looking forward to things, definitely hoping that we'll be able to ramp our production up here and really give people a great sense of what it is that we, well, really not only end the year 2017 on a positive high note, but also launch into the new year 2018 in a way that really hopefully makes people stand up, turn their heads, and take note of what it is that we're managing to put together here every week via Pi Radio Podcasts and WPRPN.com. So let's not forget, you can easily find us, folks, via and off of Facebook, Minds.com, of course, Twitter. Didn't get that tweet out today. This is what the captain has just informed us of. So, yeah, pretty low-key affair here, pretty mellow, frankly. Feeling pretty sedate and laid back, all things concerned. We might do a Rogues Gallery after show or not. Either way, though, it's good with me, of course, here. Not a problem. I'm always happy to have a little more free time on my hands. I definitely know that because of the work that we have to do here and putting together the post-production end of things. It's quite a chore, quite a task, going through every last moment of audio that people end up listening to on the receiving end of things because of the interference, which is just such an endless nonstop issue. Hopefully with this computer upgrade, we'll find things improving a little bit. We did a bit of a test run yesterday, unfortunately, because of the DDoS attack. It wasn't anything that we necessarily brought upon ourselves other than just out of our own total blind stupidity, frankly, to be quite honest. So we have no one but ourselves to blame for that unfortunate state of affairs. The computer is back in the shop as we speak, and it is being worked on. So we have one of Santa's elves taking care of that and hopefully getting everything running ship shape, as it were, all ready to go for the big launch on December 15th. Same time as always, folks, next Friday night is when we're kicking it off. And we are going to have another show then, of course, as we're going to shoot for then in the evening here in Korea. Maybe 10 or 11. We'll have to check out the clock. Not sure. That'll be pretty early in LA. That'll be about 7 o'clock in the morning. 6, 7, maybe 8, 9, covering the U.S. time zones there. So it'll be a morning show for the States if we stream something out here in the late night. But we'll definitely, once again, with that evening show, manage also to tap into and connect with our European audience and listeners. Joe Zapardo talking about how the stream died. It's now back, so that's great. Good to see, good to hear. And just where to take things from this point, not sure. Trying to check Skype. Got a few things. Okay, just left a message there on Skype in the Robinhood. Not sure who's online at the moment. It's been a lot of fun, though, I will say that much, running things as we have here, bare bones. Pretty much just me, myself, and I. Although it's great, as always, to see you out there, Mr. Joseph Pirate Zapardo, playing a part of things. Joe Eminon, his doppelganger kind of, I'm not sure what sort of a twin exactly, but some sort of double. What sort of identity would that be? Oh, geez, I don't know. We'll leave that aside, I guess, for the time being. It escapes you at the moment. The double counter identity or alter ego, I guess. That's the word we're looking for, alter ego. Okay. But, yeah, once again, just about a total of 40 shows approximately over the course of this past year. The first one was Justice for Michelle, as I recall. That was having taken the break from after Operation Secret Santa 2016. Justice for Michelle, and that was courtesy of Amanda Thurston, who we had join us and be a part of things. So we were quite happy to have that story addressed. And based out of Florida, as listeners will recall, she was attacked by her, from all accounts and indication, there was no suicide. It was set up to make perhaps some people think that was the case, but this guy, once again, it does not look good, let's put it that way. When you examine all the evidence, it appears that the crime scene, there was tampering of evidence and intimidation of witnesses. Don't know if any witnesses disappeared. Sometimes evidence disappears, though, magically, from police evidence lockers right around the world. It's not like we're just picking on one particular police department necessarily over the next. Some cop shops, as it were, do a pretty decent job of maintaining the peace, you know, and just handing out report cards. You don't want to be too one-sided, frankly, and just wholeheartedly with broad brushstrokes attacking the cops. That doesn't make any sense. Myself, speaking for myself, definitely a very more balanced approach. At the same time, holding them accountable where they step out of line. They don't get a free pass. Nobody gets a free pass. The Jews don't get a free pass. No, sorry, they don't. Muslim invaders don't get a free pass. No, sorry, no, not in my books. And certainly corrupt cops don't get a free pass. So that's something definitely to think about, how it is in this world that it seems that there's certain people, usually in politics and political leaders of political parties, who want to offer people free passes via legislation and saying that, oh, well, you don't have the right to criticize, or you can't speak out in opposition to, or we'll fine you, or we'll imprison you. I don't know if they really overtly talk too much about just, you know, shooting people. But if that's what it comes down to, I'm sure it could be arranged quite easily. Getting rid of any troublemakers or nuisances. People that are a bit of an irritation. Too much of a... I don't know what it would be exactly. It just goes, yeah, once again, case by case way of approaching things is the best way of doing it. So Justice for Michelle. It would be great to see Justice for Michelle one day. So hopefully people down there in Florida, I'm not sure if it would be southwestern, southeastern Florida. Fortunately, not a geography major, so we'll leave it at that, though. People can check that show out in the archives. Jordan Bone Party, bit of a bone party. I was looking forward to that show. I had a good time, and unfortunately, haven't really heard too much back from the guy since we did the show, but I enjoyed myself. Not so sure that he did, though, frankly, for whatever reason, but, you know, some people are... just kind of strange. Lord Stompy, episode 46. We covered him, of course. He's been on the show a number of times. Regular listeners will know. Very talented Australian musician. Someone whose music we like to feature here from time to time. Have not heard from him for a while, as it is either. He's, I guess, off in his own, well, down Australia. A lot of work to do there, and very busy guy, of course. Struggling just to make ends meet. Get his music out there, have his voice heard. A lot of great work that he has put out, of course, over the years. Encourage people to check out, download, or what have you. David Allen Zimbach, episode 47, so cryptocurrency. It was great to have him aboard, working on launching that cryptocurrency, folks. Hopefully here, 2018 is the year that we're supposed to be doing it. I have no idea. I haven't heard too much lately as far as the whole... that whole business goes, but I guess we'll see. Some kind of fork, I guess, is what it'll be. A fork off of Bitcoin. And then maybe forks off of other things, too, if we can set that up. Wait and see. Tom Schaefer returns. Another colorful personality. He's based out of another Florida connection. It was great to have him on the show. And a science fiction writer, as well as the founder of his own spoof religion. Free People of the Cosmos. The Freeples. Only requisite in order to qualify and become a Freeple, don't be a dick. Doesn't sound too complicated, does it? Episode 49, Thomas Sheridan. We had a lot of people tune in for that. Of course, he's a well-known author, esoteric matters, documentary filmmaker, commentator, very bright and insightful individual regarding a whole host of largely Western, Celtic, Irish, mythological, esoteric-themed issues. Episode 50 last year was our first year anniversary. Can you believe it? Episode 50. So, and then after that, of course, we managed to produce about, 37 more episodes, 37 shows after that. Bo, King of the Road Keeley, episode, it was 51. He joined us from Slab City, California. That was a great conversation. And he was, in fact, the fellow who turned us on to James Heidrick. Thanks to Bathtub Jen. Of course, got to give credit where credit is due. Dibs to her for helping suggest his name, or at least have it out there so that we could potentially turn to him and pitch him the idea of a conversation and a bit of a show. So big thanks to all three of them, really. Bathtub Jen, Bo, King of the Road Keeley, and James Heidrick for being a part of things as well. Fukushima Roundtable, episode 52. We've covered Fukushima a couple times here now, of course. Not sure if that was the one where we had our friend from Japan join us or not. Just kind of briefly look through the show notes here, scanning over what we have in place. Stompy dropped in for that. And it's a major issue, of course, folks. Let's not forget, regardless of what big media or the big daddy type figures or sense that we get coming from our political leaders in government as far as taking care of the situation, as far as that whole business goes, because they're taking care of it in a bad way. Fukushima, there's a lot of lingering issues that we have to deal with as far as, living here in Asia in particular, along with, of course, what people have had to endure and put up with out there on the West Coast. God only knows what washing up on their shores and also finding its way into their food supply, the fish that they eat, the air that we breathe. Maybe that's the reason I'm congested. I have no idea. I think it's probably more to do with the chemtrails myself. Could it just be a regular cold? I don't know. There's a fair deal of heavy spraying here, though, too. Let's not forget. So, to completely ignore that is just absurd, of course. As is how when these people who talk about man-made CO2-based climate change, the whole time completely ignoring anything to do with sub-oceanic volcanoes and how volcanoes obviously heat the oceans and play a factor in things as far as the Earth's temperature is concerned. That's beyond ignorant. Not even to acknowledge that. It's like, what are you doing? Wake up. Episode 53, BC's Pirate Valkyrie. 54 was Casey Lartigue Jr., the ESL for North Korean Refugees show. We don't have too many views or downloads on that one, which is quite interesting. I know he didn't promote it at all from his end, and the reason being is because it ended in a lot of fireworks. You want to check out a good show, folks? One that ends in a lot of fireworks? That would be the one, episode 54, ESL for North Korean Refugees, with Casey Lartigue Jr. BC's Pirate Valkyrie had joined us for a short time, just a couple shows there, helping, in fact, she co-hosted that one. That was a lot of fun. She was also part of the Indie Music Showcase, the Minds World Indie Showcase 2.0. That was great timing on her part, and things couldn't have worked out better. Not sure what ever happened to her. She kind of just fell by the wayside and disappeared. One theory is it may have been like some sort of jealous boyfriend issue. You can believe that. So makes no sense to me at all, of course, why that would be the case. But, some guys are really jealous. They don't want their girlfriends or wives talking to anyone, any man, even if it's just being, part of a podcast. So strange. But yeah, BC's Pirate Valkyrie, based out of Kelowna, British Columbia. She was great, a lot of fun, and very bright, talented, knowledgeable young lady. Hardly even 20 years old, I don't think so. But Casey Lartigue, episode 54, yeah, ESL for North Korean refugees. I got to say something here. It's just absurd and ridiculous. He had just come in straight from the American embassy. So to me, that says something. You know, it's like, oh, just joining the show now, just got in from the U.S. embassy. Well, the guy's got CIA written all over him, frankly, all over him. It's just, I mean, if he's not CIA, then he's obviously like an asset. Duh. Come on. Give me a break. How obvious do you have to be? But here's the thing that really caught my attention with the way that they've got this set up. These North Korean refugees that come down, he brings them in. They learn English. That's great. That's really great. But to use them as propaganda tools, that's a bit of an issue. As far as I'm circumcised, it's definitely an issue. Use them as propaganda tools or mouthpieces to flout and promote and spout totally one-sided, biased ways of looking at things. So, and in particular, he's got this one poster girl. Her name escapes me. I'm not really good with Korean names. That's just unfortunately the way things go. But the fact of the matter is, he's a poster girl. We're out to the show notes here later when we put things together, do the wrap. But she pulls in $40,000 per hour per speaking engagement of English. He teaches her English and others teaching them English. But her in particular, the little, like a singing bird or something like that, poster girl type character, with this real terrible, heart-wrenching sob story, which constantly is changing. Well, why is your story constantly changing? Can't you get your story straight? So that's something a lot of people, critics, observers have noted, and to this point has not really been answered all that successfully. So for this to be a big money grab, though, is we had no problem talking to him, and we were happy to promote his, plug his school and his business. But this connection with North Korea, once again, and the way that using these people as talking propaganda mouthpieces, is that's not even and balanced at all. And for have them charge $40,000 per hour per speaking engagement? Are you kidding me? Come on, people. What's going on here? It's not normal, obviously. Episode 55, William Ramsey. He's going to be returning in the new year from the sounds of things. It was William Ramsey Pizzagate. We got into that Pizzagate thing. We tried to get into it as soon as we could when we had a opening in the schedule. We jumped on that, and that show was well received. A couple hundred people, I believe, now have seen it, at least a couple hundred people via YouTube and Podomatic. We had the World Minds Indie Music Showcase 2.0. It was 56, 57 was, and by the way, speaking of Indie Music Showcase, we're hoping on revisiting that, doing a 3.0 in the new year. So if you are a musician, you've got something, and if you've yet to be showcased, especially, you're a new musician that would like to have your music heard and featured on one of our upcoming shows, let us know. We want to get your submissions in and set them aside and have everything set up so it's ready to go in a really kind of streamlined fashion. Make sure that it's your music, of course, is good enough and that you've done enough work in the studio. You got your instruments are all in tune. But also copyright and royalty free. We need that because we've had problems with YouTube. You know, we want to have it so we're not being attacked or dinged or some copyright or royalty issues. It's a headache. But yeah, by all means, feel free, folks. If you got something, some good quality content, we want to get our hands on that and share it with the rest of the world. Episode 57, Hollywood Muckraker Mark Ebner. Whoa, man, did we ever open a can of worms there? You know, you're talking about Hollyweird and the Weinstein. Oh, boy. I really got to help to kind of get the ball rolling there a little bit. Timing was interesting. Really interesting timing. We talked about the gay velvet mafia in Hollywood. He didn't really want to. Initially, it seemed like he had something to say about it, and that there had been other interviews he'd done where it's like he was willing to comment or go into it a little bit. But this time around, he was a little more sort of almost evasive, really, for some reason, or dismissive as well, too, perhaps. But a good show, nonetheless. Talking about his work and investigations, study and research and findings regarding Scientology, the stories that he's published over the years and how he's covered it extensively, his visit to the Playboy Mansion, where Hugh Hefner, of course, now has passed away at the ripe old age of 91 years old. Really good interview, though. A lot of fun there with Mark Ebner, and really important for people if they're interested in any of those issues to check out. I think you might really get a kick out of it, get something, you know, and listen to the show that learned a few things that you hadn't been aware of before. 58 was the Minds Roundtable. We had Minds Gaming. I think that was where John and Bill both kind of ducked out. There was problems there with the booking, and just people got their wires crossed, and even like Satori D, this wasn't quite clear. He had to work that night. But we did have Minds Gaming join us, and that went quite well. A lot of great conversation and issues regarding Minds.com. Alien Rock was the next episode. I guess that would be 59 with Grant Cameron. And he is returning in the new year too, folks, as is William Ramsey. So we're really looking forward to that. Two great personalities who, once again, as things are, we don't typically go for the big names, the established names, people who are well-known out there in the podcast community, types that are well-known, high-profile when it comes to like parapolitics or conspiracy or ufology or the unknown, things that of that sort of nature. Of course, we do cover a lot of other stories and areas too, including health and activism, pop culture, and anything that's really interesting or intriguing is what we want to sink our teeth into, as it were, and tackle. So do be sure to let us know. Primarily, though, once again, yeah, we just go for the up-and-coming kind of grassroots talent or voices, people whose stories have not yet been heard, and maybe working on trying to help them find a greater audience. So Real Randy Ross, episode 61. That, too, he really had his hands full. A lot on his plate, caught up in a lot of legal issues. Was unable to make the show, but, man, it's got over 6,000 views now, according to the tally there that we find over on Podomatic. That's spacepirateradio.podomatic.com, of course, too, folks. Just to be clear, to let you know, in case you are looking for it there in the show notes or want to try to get a better idea of what's going on as far as the archives and where it is that you can find our show exactly. All right, just shifting gears a little bit here, focus over to the Facebook chat area. There's a lot of things that are coming in here as we're trying to wind things down, actually. So I do believe, pretty sure these messages just came in the last few minutes. So I was doing the wrap there. So we're just an overview and kind of rundown, more or less. But Carolyn Rose Goida saying she dozed off, as she typically does. 27 degrees Fahrenheit. I think that would be kind of cold. No lightning nearby. That's a bonus. Almost 1,000 miles away. So closest strike in the last 30 minutes, 881 miles away. That's a pretty great little app she has there on her phone. And our secret Santa here is saying that, okay. All right, talking about this select charity. This is really interesting. Interesting stuff as far as what she has to offer here. So we'll give people an update on this maybe next week. We're not even going to name the charity at this moment because we're not sure if she wants to remain anonymous as far as that is concerned. Although, from the looks of things, my guess is she'll want to talk about it a little more and let people know. All I will say right now is that it's something, an organization that helps Chinese female babies who are injected, or rejected rather, from their families, help them find homes. You know, there's something similar here in South Korea, the city I live in, which I picked up some paperwork just a little while ago. So maybe we'll tie those two in together, actually. It's a similar kind of deal where teenagers find themselves being cast out by their parents or thrown out of the house. I know that was a big issue during the period where I was growing up back in the 80s, probably still occurs on a somewhat widespread basis, you would imagine, where parents don't quite see eye to eye with their children. They're the teens that they're raising, and kids end up leaving the house for whatever reason, getting into trouble with the law, drugs, you know, all the wrong people, maybe some sort of gang activity or you name it. So mental issues, of course, too. Let's not forget, it's tough when you're thrown out onto the streets. You're left to defend all on your own. It's your own all you have is yourself, really, and your wits, frankly, and you've got just endless problem solving, troubleshooting, and the like. So let's just carry along, though, here, and just move on to the next update that we have here. All right, well, we got great. Joe Zapardo shared the link, so that's great. I didn't have time to do that. I was multitasking. Got some activity in the man cave, which is good to see. And another update here from one of our beneficiaries. Beneficiaries, I think is the word. Yes, beneficiaries. Offer a little help here if we can to some folks. This is down in Alabama. Oh, geez. Christ. No way we're going to be able to help that. Are you kidding me? Almost $3,000. Power getting cut off, cold and freezing, and loans and funerals, and oh my God. And then you got to also wonder, of course, too, are these people are they scam artists or con jobs? So we don't know. And I mean, we're not like instant cash machines either. All we're here to do is to make an example, lead the way in that sense of how people can make small change and small wins and victories can be accomplished and achieved along the way. That's the main thing that we have to offer here and that we can do. So I'm just going to try to quickly run down the rest of what we got here and the time we have left. We have run overtime as it is. Ghost Seekers Paragon with Deborah Ross. So that was a great kind of spooky paranormal sort of show. Would have been kind of neat to have her back for the Halloween episode that we put together there back in October, but things didn't quite work out that way, unfortunately. Maybe next year. James Heidrich. It was episode 63. Of course, we talked to him via Coalinga State Mental Institute, California there, episode 63. And that was, what a setup that was. We had to get the telephone here and as close to the computer mic, frankly, as we could, and ended up going into post-production later, boosting all the levels, and it was just a real headache for sure. You know, it was a real chore to get that out to the public in the best quality form we could manage. Episode 64, UFO Political Prisoner Free John Ford. Joe Zapardo, of course, joined us there once again. We weren't able to quite to make the roundtable, have the roundtable format as we'd hoped, because of people being off on holidays, busy with other commitments and so forth, but things worked out quite well as far as the information being presented. Unfortunately, because of the technical end of things, there was a lot of work that went into the post-production and getting that out to the public so that when they listened to it in the end, it was not a total mishmash or total cacophony of noise and had a nice flow to things and optimal listening experience, basically. 65, Aurora, Flying Rainbow Lasagna. She came, of course, courtesy of Carol Sloan. So Carol received co-production credits with that show. And that was a trip, man. Aurora, one of these so-called walk-ins type of person, I guess, who's almost like possessed by an alien spirit of some kind is what it seems, as I recall. It was really quite a show for sure. Definitely something worth listening to, as are all of our shows, frankly. You go back and you haven't heard them, Len. I would recommend that people check out what we have here in the archives and what we've managed to produce, because each of these guests, they're there for a reason. Something to offer, something that, you know, to be shared, and that's worth people engaging in and reflecting upon, checking out, or what have you. Episode 66, Satori D, The Infinite Imaginarium. Beyond. Daniel De La Rosa, quite a colorful character from Minds.com, a major advocate and proponent of psychedelia, among other things, and always good to have him drop by and join us. Episode 67, American Uck Radio. That was another good one, too, of course, where we talked a lot about things like Alberta and Canada, as far as politics are concerned, from the federal end of things, Alberta's role or place in the larger scheme of things, the bigger picture. Mike Phillip was our guest name, and he is the host, of course, of American Uck Radio. We've been in touch with him a little bit since our conversation, so it'd be great to have him back for a follow-up episode here in the new year. Once again, technical issues there with the sound. the stream quality, so we had to struggle with that to get it under control and work on producing a decent quality show from a technical sound audio end of things. Episode 38, Bell Gabs, Michael Van Dieven. It was an encore presentation, I guess, is what we did there for 69, and that was because, as I recall, that was the one where Helidium Thunder was not able to make it. That was the live stream that we'd hoped to put out there and have people check out via Sturgis, South Dakota. Great show once again. A lot of fun with Michael Van Dieven. He's quite the character. A big Art Bell fan. Not so much George Norrie for some reason, though. Doesn't have too many good or positive things to say about Mr. Norrie. He was quite interested in the whole Leo Ashcraft affair as well, too. The way that I sort of found myself swept up in this whirlwind of complete strangeness, frankly, this vortex of maybe, would you say, destiny or what have you. It was almost, you know, I found myself drawn, irresistibly drawn into this business of putting, you know, the podcast, the weekly kind of show is where we've ended up finding ourselves here. And it's all started with my being awarded the admin privileges or role, as it were, over on a well-known Art Bell fan club group on Facebook. So we'll just leave it at that for now. But thank you, Michael Van Dieven, for dropping by and being a part of things. Joshua Chairs, of course, helped to book Mr. Van Dieven. So a big word of thanks and shout out to Joshua. Margo Mateus, once again, that was very well received. The feedback that we got there, people were really, felt it was quite interesting and decent quality response for sure from listeners. So she performed kind of almost like a psychic mediumship abilities, is just a demonstration and a reading essentially, I think is what she did of myself. And there's a few audience members at the time too that were partaking in the live stream. So that was really quite something to have Margo on board. The 71 was the Elvis, the 40th year anniversary, as far as him having passed off into the great beyond. You know, just, I don't think we'll do a show next year. We did a show last year, the 39th, 41st. I don't think so. Elvis, what a great character. Couldn't say enough about the guy. Got quite a few books here in the ship's library. The whole life story, really, from rags to riches and from his start there, Tupelo, little shotgun shack, whitewashed, as it were, and all the way, you know, to Memphis. It's like a god man almost. You know, people talk about Memphis. Well, there's a Memphis in Egypt, too, let's not forget. That's where things get really interesting. Why did the founders of that city in Tennessee decide to call their city Memphis? It'd be interesting to, you know, have somebody look into that. We're going to get into the bottom of things. Probably, you know, in doing so, you'd find that many of the engineers and surveyors and the like, the city planners, were Freemasons. Almost inevitably. But yeah, Elvis, quite a character. Too bad he had those addiction issues, though, and really consumed far too many pills, had multiple health issues that he never had addressed. Hypertension. Don't know if he, I think he tried to take some sort of medication for that. You know, the obesity as well, too. What a great voice, though. What a great spirit. What a character. So tragically flawed. Cut Me and I Bleed is the name of one of a well-known Elvis documentary. People can easily find there on YouTube. So, big fan of Captain Marvel Jr., as it turns out, Elvis. So if you look into his personal history, you'll find that, yeah, big comic book fan. And Captain Marvel Jr. was his, that was his man. That was the character that he most readily identified with. Episode 72, Augie Nost returns. We've seen a little bit of Augie today, too, popping in and out of the Facebook chat. So I'm not sure if he'll be around for the after show or not. Let's take a look at the feed. Here we go. James was great. So says Joe Eminon. Bit of a hack as well, too, is what we're hearing. What has had occurred here just over the last little while on some level. I'm not sure what you're getting at there, Joe, but with respect to this hacking of Hack ID comment, five people watching now via YouTube stream is a definite go, green light, so that's great that we have that in place. Thank you, YouTube, for doing your job. Augie Nost returns, episode 72. Yeah, good old Augie. Hopefully we'll see more of him over the course of Operation Secret Santa. He's expressed an interest in, you know, dropping by and being a part of things. So we'll see where that leads. A special report came next. Carolyn Rose Goida save house update. I think we've talked a little bit about her story already over the course of the past, well, it's nearly 2 hours now, folks, and we're trying to just wrap things up here as we do this rapid-fire machine gun-styled sort of rundown. Rat-a-tat-tat. But yeah, special report, Carolyn Rose Goida, Safe House Update, Jefferson City, Missouri. Let's not forget about her freezing out there tonight as she listens to us via her igloo camper van. I think Americans and America can do better, folks. She's an example of what's, I guess, wrong with America. There are people around here, though, around here, yes, and around her, who are reaching out and trying to help as best they can to do whatever is within their means. So let's hope that things continue to evolve in a positive direction as far as her story is concerned. Episode 73, Cuz the Shroom. What a character that guy was. Minds.com personality. We've been in touch with him a little bit via Facebook since the show. Great guy. A lot of fun. Great energy. Really bright kind of personality. And one of these type of people who you think it's too bad, you know, we couldn't actually meet in person. Maybe sit down, have a beer, roll a spliff. You know, whatever the case may be, knock back a nice frothy flagon of pirate grog with the man would be, I think, absolutely splendid. Independent musician as well, too. Longtime cassette artist is one of the things he's most proud about and what we talked about. So another experiencer of sorts when it comes to the whole UFO issue. That's interesting, of course, as always. James West being another. I'm not sure about Aurora or not, but definitely, you know, Cuz the Shroom, some strange things, most certainly. Chris Brown, another character we had in the show, another so-called experiencer of the weird and seemingly otherworldly. Episode 74, 911, Learn to Remember, Never Forget. That was our, yes, September 11th memorial commemoration. I'm not sure what sort of high drama occurred over the course of that conversation or that show exactly, but things seemed to come off relatively well. We did have James West. Speaking of James, he dropped by and helped to co-navigate and then steer the Robin Hood along through what can at times be pretty tempestuous waters. So great job from his part. 9/11 inside job or not? Let me think about that now. I wonder. Episode 75, Bye Bye Blue Sky. Suzanne Marr and Tech Lords. Geoengineering, chemtrails, the full spectrum dominance, war against humanity. It's all the same kind of deal, folks. It's all the same sort of thing. So, yeah, stop aerial spraying now. It's not good for people. It's not good for plants. You know, the ecosystem, waging war, it's chemical warfare, among other things, being waged on the population of the Earth and its ecosystem. So, pretty serious stuff, not good at all. Episode 76, International Talk Like a Pirate Day. That was a lot of fun, yar. Yes, avast me hearties. Is Long John Sinclair around speaking of pirates and so forth?
I'd be here the whole time, Zaffy. I've just been waiting to jump in now.
Oh, you mean you're not even in the crow's nest right now?
I'm on the quarter deck.
Oh, you're on the quarter deck?
I've been on the quarter deck. That's where most of the captains of the pirate ship, they spend the time, frankly. So, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, we're just trying to wrap things up here and you know, steer this back into the harbor and call it a day. So I'm not sure if there's anything just off the top of your head that you want to draw listeners' attention. Now's your time.
Well, Operation Secret Santa, I suppose, mainly. A lot of what you covered there is pretty fine. Pretty fine material. You need to know the ins and outs, who to contact and where to go on Facebook and the like. Minds.com now being down, that's a bit of an issue, of course, so. But, Facebook, head over to Operation Secret Santa on Facebook. Just a quick little search there, I think, will easily come up and find what you're looking for.
Well, that's what I'm kind of telling people, so hopefully not too complicated. Halloween episode 2016 encore presentation, episode 81. Need a little bit of a break and filler there. I'm not sure as what came up, other than we had Teresa Clayton. Pirate Larry might have even, I think he joined us there as well, too. Encore presentation, Halloween 2016. No one sure yet, even still, what became of Pirate Larry, whether it's that whole business of falling from the plummeting down into the frigid waters of the ocean from all the way up in the crow's nest, or there's a rumor of him getting an altercation with some crew from another ship, a gang of not exactly vagabonds, but really just misfits, and the witness testimony or just the rumblings that we've heard are really quite vague, so... Yes, it's either that or the mermaid, sirens wailing, and drawn to the mermaids. Well, I mean, the mermaid has this majestic and epic, the charm. They're able to draw you in, entice you, and then when they have you within their grasp, things don't always end so well for the whoever it is that's managed to fall under the mermaid's spell. No, definitely not. Haven't heard much from Pirate Larry the last number of months, so all the best to him, of course, too. He was really instrumental helping out with the co-hosting end of things for around 25 episodes or so, I guess, over the course of both 2016 and 17. M. Teresa Clayton, episode 78. Let's not forget Interverse, Chance Garten, 77. One of our Patreon supporters as well, too, Mr. Garden. So thank you very much. You really do mean the world to us. You and Kelly Freeman and Carol Sloan and Emily Anderson and Coco Park, all together, you have managed through your good graces and, well, just your willingness to step up to the plate, as it were, and put your money where your mouth is. You know, we're, as was mentioned earlier, managing with each premium piece of premium Patreon content produce $5 that goes directly to charity. All this, of course, what we're putting together here via YouTube, this raw live streaming feed, completely free, as is the post-produced show that we put up on Podomatic for people to listen to, completely free. So have at it, folks. Make the most of it and enjoy. Episode 78, once again, M. Teresa Clayton, who's been a fixture of sorts, and a regular, well, a semi-regular guest. People have seen and heard from her from time to time here, most certainly over the course of the last year or so, with the Halloween special, as well as just generally just featuring Miss Clayton, who herself is based, once again, out of the state of Missouri. A lot of Missouri. Missouri, California, and Florida. Those happen to be our three main states for some reason. Not sure why that's the case. Got a lot of energy coming from those regions, though, directed at the network, at the ship, at the show, hopefully in a good way, is what it seems, at least to this point. So thank you very much, and, you know, keep it up, folks. Keep ramping up that vibe. Episode 83, indie rocker and author Thomas Duder. He was a lot of fun, too. A lot of great music. Listen to the guy's tunes, and, you know, it's some kick-ass stuff. It's really great that you can actually, once again, make out the lyrics. One of my major criticisms, as well as I'm sure a lot of others, is you go into these hard-rocking gigs and clubs and concerts and whatnot, and you can't hear what the hell it is the singer's trying to sing. So that's an issue. Okay, and finally, hey, we're almost finished off here, folks. Almost got it all capped off. 40 and Talks, episode 84, 40 and Talks. You know, what a blast that guy was, too. Real great contact to make there out of Cornwall, England. Not sure if he would be a scallywag or a swashbuckler for sure. A real gent, but also a rogue, something of a rogue and a rascal type feel or bent to the man's personality as well. 40 and Talks, was a lot of fun. And we definitely really got into it as far as the world and history of piracy was concerned. His own various personal projects, his interest in pop culture, his interest in the strange and the weird, hence the Fortean Talk nickname. Another Minds.com personality, but of course you can find him in various other places across the web and your pick of social media platforms. So he was really refreshing, very intelligent and capable speaker as well too. So a lot of fun to engage. The whole business of the Lolita Express, another, along with Hollyweird and along with, you know, pizza, or what's really best known as Pedogate. Because let's not forget, folks, there's a lot of sick people out there that use as a means of political blackmail all kinds of nasty things are used on people, whether they're set up or once, whether they do, you know, these most stupid and ridiculous things. At some point later down the road, they attempt to blackmail them for political gains and political ends. Much in the way that terrorism is used to promote a political agenda. I guess in this case, it's used to promote the agenda of censorship and stripping away of rights and freedoms, the ability to speak freely and so forth, as well as privacy everywhere. Now there's got to be CCTV and pushing the biometric agenda as well, too, because, well, you know, terrorists might attack. Got to ask yourself then, of course, too, well, who or what exactly is a terrorist? It gets quite interesting. So I think the answer is quite obvious, too. it's not the answer that some people might have been hoping to hear either. But last of all, we've got, of course, Mr. Rational Outlaw. And that was the final episode that we put together there. So he was our last Minds.com personality. We've got episode 85 with John Barber, of course, in post-production at the moment. We got, let's not forget, Orbducted coming out, too, as well. We're working on getting that out to our Podomatic listeners, as well as the show that we did last week with Doug Stuber, show 86. This, of course, being episode 87. We're coming up next week with, well, that would be 88, I guess, wouldn't it, people? So how about that? I wonder if our double eights are going to be any luckier than our double sevens. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Be sure to tune in next week, folks, when we launch episode 88. Once again, we're kicking off our Operation Secret Santa World Auction Charity and Talent Telethon Extravaganza. Till we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder.
I know. There we be. Having carefully looked over each of our navigation panel instruments, checking every level, switch, dial, cable, knob, and pulley, by all accounts and indications, we indeed see it's time, once again, to drop anchor inside Mystic Bay and draw an end to yet another week of Pirate Radio Podcasts. Remember, if you're looking for a little more lively online action, keep in mind we've likely got yet another great free-flowing Rogues Gallery After Show coming up for the next hour in either Skype, Google Hangouts, or Peer.im. Also, if you've in any way enjoyed or found yourself benefiting from the shows we've tirelessly produced over the past 2 years, you might want to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. This week, we're sending a big and hearty shout-out to our most recent patron, Korea-based Minds.com personality, Coco Park. Along with fellow virtual buccaneers, Kelly Freeman, Carol Sloan, Innerverse, and Emily Anderson, that now brings our official number of patrons up to 5. Producing $10 a pop, this now means $5 per item of premium content goes directly to charity. Help to keep those numbers growing over on Patreon, and we'll be able to extend even more of a generous pirate hand. Coming up next week,
Join us as we launch our 10-day Operation Secret Santa 2017 World Charity Auction and Talent Telethon Extravaganza. Whether music, comedy, or storytelling, if you or someone you know has a special outstanding talent, feel free to drop by and share your gifts with the listening world. But this is just the start of things. Everything you can imagine is also going up for auction, and it's all for a good cause. A full one-third of all winning auction bids go directly to the charity of your choice. So what of anonymity, you ask? Simple. Both winning bidders and select charities fully reserve the right to remain secret. Or what many back in the good old 20th century used to commonly refer to as private. Not only do we hope to repeat, but also, with your help, we'll most certainly manage to build on last year's Operation Secret Santa Christmas Charity Success Stories. Looking forward now to 2018, let's not forget, we're still not quite booked. So if you yourself have a new, novel, intriguing, or otherwise underreported idea, unique individual, or pressing item in mind, be sure to either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or fire us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. We're always open to exploring fresh creative suggestions, intriguing guest ideas, cutting-edge discussion topics, and captivating themes. You can further embark on your own personal pirate journey by either liking, commenting on, subscribing to, or just following us via virtually any mainstream social media platform, including Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho.